This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Let's talk with Bob Holsworth of virginiatomorrow.com. He is online at virginiatomorrow.com, and the president and founder of one of the best websites on the internet for tracking and understanding Virginia politics. Bob, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great, Coy. How are you today?
Very good. You know, getting ready. It's going to be a fun night tomorrow night, watching the results come in to see who Virginia picks to run against Bob McDonnell and Bill Boldling and Ken Cuccinelli. Let's start, if we can, Bob, with the latest polls, because they're pretty amazing.
Stunning poll numbers that have come out over the weekend. A lot of people thought Creedy was surging. If these poll numbers are right, you can forget about calling it a surge. Call it an avalanche. Just astonishing. Here is a man who a couple of weeks ago was in some polls 20, 25 points behind. Both Public Policy Polling and Survey USA came out with polls first last night and then this morning, showing Deeds ahead by 14 points in one survey, 12 in the other. This is a transformation of 25, 30 points. And if these polls are accurate, they are saying that Deeds is going to win in a runaway. These polls turn out to be wrong. These organizations are going to have their credibility questioned seriously.
Well, but, what's the track record of these organizations in polling?
Well, I mean, they've been mixed. I think what people have been very concerned about in these primary polls, myself included, is how do you really determine who's actually going to vote in one of these primaries, and particularly if your poll is a kind of an automatic dialed poll, in which you are not necessarily having an interviewer talk and probe people pretty deeply. But I think what's happened is that a lot of people have believed that the Washington Post endorsement worked very well for Creedy's. They also believe that Deeds, in this ironic way, in the fascinating dynamics of a three-way primary, has been the principal beneficiary of the Moran attacks on McAuliffe. So what's happened is many observers have really believed that Creedy's has been surging, and what these polls seem to show is that it's not just a surge. You know, I don't know what you want to call it, an avalanche, a tidal wave, or whatever, but he has really been on a roll and looks poised, according to these polls, to have a rematch with Bob McDonnell come Wednesday.
We're talking with Bob Holsworth of VirginiaTomorrow.com. Rematch, of course, is the operative word. And for folks who are just joining us, Bob, or may have forgotten, talk about that original match between Creedy's and Bob McDonnell.
Well, when they, you know, don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves, because I think the polls always can be wrong, and I think everyone has to recognize that in a low turnout primary, it's whoever can get their people to the polls and encourage them the best that's going to win. But if Deeds does happen to win, the rematch against McDonnell, he lost by a little over 300 votes in the AG race. This would be the second rematch, you might say, in recent Virginia history. In 1981, Jerry Belisle beat Wyatt Durrett for Attorney General, and in 85, they had a rerun for the governor's race, and Belisle won again. Deeds would hope that if he's involved in the rematch, he would not necessarily be following the Belisle's precedent here.
We're talking with Bob Holsworth, founder and president at Virginia Tomorrow, online at virginiatomorrow.com. Bob, tell us what one reporter, what somebody told you, what Creedy's reaction was behind the scenes when he heard, when he was first told that the Washington Post had endorsed him in this primary.
Yeah, I don't even know if the story is fully true, but the rumor that's circulating throughout media circles is that Deeds was actually asleep when his campaign manager called him to let him know that the Washington Post had endorsed him, and he told him, you know, shut up, that's not funny. but the fact is that I'm not sure he was expecting the Washington Post endorsement. And a lot of people say these days that, you know, newspaper endorsements don't matter at all. I've probably said it once or twice in my life, but I think we're going to have to qualify that statement. It does matter when in a Democratic primary, the Washington Post endorses the one non-Northern Virginian in a three-person race. This was an extraordinary endorsement. It catalyzed the Deeds campaign. It really damaged Brian Moran tremendously, and it looks like it damaged Terry McAuliffe somewhat more than the pundits thought. As I said, we're going to have to wait till tomorrow to see whether the vaunted McAuliffe ground game, the game, the organization that they have spoken to everybody so proudly about, can actually materialize and wrest this election away from what the pollsters are saying it's going to be. But there is no doubt that win or lose, Cree Deeds has come from way behind, and once again we've seen this unusual dynamic of a three-person primary where you can never count anybody out, because when one person goes down, you never know who else is going to be the beneficiary.
My guest is Bob Holsworth. He joins us on Monday afternoons to talk a little Virginia politics, and that's what we do on Monday afternoons. Always look forward to it. It's a good way to start the week. Bob, you mentioned the ground game. That, of course, was some observers feel was the key to the Barack Obama win, a phenomenal, unprecedented ground game for president. Terry McAuliffe has sort of been saying, hey, I'm doing the same thing here in Virginia in this race for governor. And what are your thoughts on that? Are you actually seeing that?
Well, I think we won't know about that really until tomorrow. Again, the McAuliffe campaign has really said over and over again that the most impressive part of their campaign is not what you're seeing in terms of the television ads. It's what you're not seeing. Their organization, their voter identification efforts, their capacity to get these voters to the polls tomorrow. The proof on that front will really be in the pudding. But what's also happened is that we're hearing from a lot of voter registrars that they don't expect that there's going to be this huge interest, that Terry McAuliffe has been dependent on the belief that there will be some what he calls surge voters in this election, voters who will come in based on the nature of the campaign. There'll be young people, there'll be people who haven't participated in state primaries who are going to come in because they've been excited by McAuliffe. Both Moran and Deeds have never thought this was going to occur, and we'll have to watch tomorrow to see if it does.
We're talking with Bob Holsworth of Virginia Tomorrow. What do you think is the is there like a bellwether locality tomorrow? Is there somewhere that we should be looking to see how they vote, or is this just not possible in this primary?
I'm not a big fan in low turnout primaries of looking at bellwether localities, because you have to know two things. First, you have to know what a particular locality is expected to do, and since the Democrats haven't had a gubernatorial primary in 30 years, that's difficult. And second, you have to be able to gauge the turnout. So what I'm going to be looking at tomorrow night, in particular, I think I'm going to look at how well Cree Deeds is doing in places where he originally wasn't expected to do very well. Some of these polls now, Coy, have him actually winning in Northern Virginia. If Deeds wins in Fairfax County or Prince William, or is even very close in those two places, or if you take Jim Moran's congressional district, if Deeds is close there, it's going to be extraordinarily difficult for Brian Moran to win. If Deeds is close, as some of the polls are suggesting, in Hampton Roads, in Hampton, Newport News, Chesapeake, and if he battles Terry McAuliffe even there, it's going to be very difficult for Terry McAuliffe to win. So rather than looking at one bellwether locality, I'm going to be looking at Northern Virginia and Hampton Roads, and I'm going to be looking at the performance of Cree Deeds in particular, because if he's running even or better than even in those places, these polls are going to turn out to be accurate. If he's running way behind even in these places, then Moran or McAuliffe still have a shot.
We're talking with Bob Holsworth of Virginia Tomorrow, online at virginiatomorrow.com. The phone lines are open. If you got a question, 977-1070. Betty's online too. Betty, you're on with Bob. Go right ahead.
Hey, Coy. I'm very excited about these polls for Cree Deeds, but I'm also really interested in the lieutenant governor's race, and I'm wondering if there's any news of what's happening in that race.
Sure, Coy. And Betty, the polls are showing a widening effect there, with Jody Wagner pulling away a little more in the polls there. You know, it's been an interesting campaign. Mike Signer's run a very energetic campaign. He hasn't had many resources or financial resources with which to run the campaign. He's come up with, I think, a brilliant idea for the job description of the lieutenant governor, and that is to be a public advocate. And my hope is that whoever gets this nomination, if it's not Signer, that Jody Wagner in some ways borrows a little bit from Signer's idea. And in fact, I hope Bill Boling borrowed from that idea, because I think that's a position that really doesn't have a well-defined purpose other than presiding over the Senate. And if the next lieutenant governor, whoever it may be, Signer, Boling, or Wagner, decide to use this position to be more of a public advocate, I think that's just what a lot of Virginia citizens would like right now.
It actually is a very good idea, sort of an ombudsman for Virginia government.
Right, and I think it gives a purpose to a position where the only evident purpose right now is to prepare to run for governor. Don Beyer used to have a wonderful joke when he was lieutenant governor. If you saw Beyer at a meeting where he'd be speaking, he would sometimes ask this question. He'd say, you know, what does the lieutenant governor do? He said people used to ask a lot of Calvin Coolidge, and then Beyer would turn to the person next to him and shake his hand. And he said Coolidge would do that and answer the question by saying, I just did it. And so we have this position that's very important in order to be able to run for statewide office, but other than presiding over the Senate, doesn't have a clearly defined role. And wouldn't it be interesting if we had a lieutenant governor who really saw themselves as some kind of ombudsman for the public and for the citizens and took on a few issues in that direct role? I think it could serve Virginia very well, and it would serve the office well.
Yeah, rather than just trying to stay in the media as a future candidate for governor. We're talking with Bob Holsworth of Virginia Tomorrow, and the lines are open at 977-1070. We're talking a little Virginia politics. David is on line three. David, you're on with Bob. Go right ahead.
Yes. Bob, question for you. Do you think that there is a percentage of the people in the state that somewhat view Terry McAuliffe as a carpetbagger, and that may help or hurt him in some fashion?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I think McAuliffe always had two challenges, one that I was very clear about when he started, one I think that I've become a little clearer about over time. And the first one is the direct one that you mentioned. You know, he's come in from outside. He's one of the candidates, and we've seen a number of these in Virginia, people with national reputations, with a national record of accomplishment, but limited involvement in Virginia politics. I jokingly at one time called them parachute candidates. We saw it with Ollie North in 1992 when he ran against Chuck Robb. We saw it with Jim Webb, actually, in 2006. Webb won, North lost. McAuliffe came in, and the difference here is that he was trying to run for governor, not the Senate. He was trying to run for an office that is clearly involved in state politics. He's an energetic campaigner. He's put forward a lot of unconventional ideas, many of which I think are right on target. And he has a lot of personal charisma. But at the same time, there are a lot of Democrats in Virginia who are saying, you know, we've been on a pretty good trajectory right now. We don't really need somebody from outside. And then beyond that, there are a lot of Democrats who said, you know, people like Cree Deeds and Brian Moran, they were fighting for the Democratic Party when there were only 31 Democrats in the House of Delegates. They deserved this nomination, not somebody from the outside, however charismatic and however many resources he might be able to bring to the table. So that's an issue that McAuliffe has clearly had to overcome. Secondly, I think the attacks by Brian Moran have probably damaged McAuliffe to some degree. And these attacks have been largely directed at McAuliffe's own personality and character. They haven't. I think McAuliffe has tried to parry them and tried to parry them well, but at the end of the day, his negatives have been driven up by these attacks. And the irony, of course, is that it's the person who didn't make the attack, Cree Deeds, who at least the polls are showing now is benefiting from it.
David, great question. The phone lines are open at 977-1070. We're talking about the primary tomorrow in Virginia, the statewide primary for the Democratic nominees for statewide office come November. J.R. waiting on line two. J.R., you're on with Bob. You go right ahead.
Okay, pardon my ignorance, but what's the situation with the Attorney General?
Well, the Attorney General is Steve Shannon is running unopposed on the Democratic side, so he'll be the Democratic nominee for Attorney General. On the Republican side, Ken Cuccinelli in the Republican convention beat John Brownlee and Dave Foster, and he's the nominee on the Republican side. Some people have said that Cuccinelli, who is a social conservative from Fairfax County, could be too conservative for Virginia, but I'd caution people of getting too far out ahead of this. The Democrats haven't won an attorney general election since 1989 in Virginia. This is a position that the public seems to have been very comfortable voting for Republicans in. And while Shannon is sitting on a very good nest egg right now of close to $1 million, he's going to have to work very hard to alter the perception that is typically a Republican who does best in that position.
JR, thanks. That's a great question. Bob, tell us who Steve Shannon is, who will be the Democratic nominee for Attorney
Steve
General.
Steve Shannon's a delegate from Northern Virginia. I believe he's been a prosecutor. I think he has a pretty good pedigree to run for Attorney General. I think he's going to position himself as kind of a moderate, law and order type Democrat. I think he's going to try to position Ken Cuccinelli as outside of the mainstream of Virginia politics. And what happened is that there were a couple of people who were thinking and considering entering the AG's race against Shannon, but they didn't do it. So Shannon, in some ways, has been in the same position that Bob McDonnell has been in on the Republican side. He's been watching three Republicans go at it and saving his money and banking his money. But the one difficulty still is that it didn't give Shannon much of an opportunity to gain statewide name recognition. My sense is that most of the public will not be very familiar either with Ken Cuccinelli, with Steve Shannon. And this is always the challenge of these down-ticket candidates. How do they find some way of getting the public to pay attention to them when all of the political oxygen seems to be consumed by the gubernatorial race?
He's the dean of political scientists here in Virginia, tracking Virginia politics for a long time. Bob Holsworth joins us every Monday afternoon to talk politics, and we're honored to have him with us. The phone lines are open at 977-1070. Bob, Virginia, of course, has open primaries. You don't have to be a registered Democrat to vote in these primaries tomorrow. Who do you think Republicans will vote for? Because there will be a number of them who will actually go to the polls tomorrow to vote for the Democratic nominees.
Yeah, the pollsters seem to be showing that maybe 5 or 6% of the electorate tomorrow are saying that they are Republicans and they'll cross over and vote in the Democratic primary. And actually, the polls that I've seen have shown conflicting evidence about who they're going to vote for. I think there are some Republicans who are going to come out and vote for Creed Eads, primarily because they think he is the most conservative Democrat in the race, and so they're going to vote for the most Republican-leaning Democrat as they see it. On the other hand, there are going to be some Republicans who are going to come out and they're going to vote for Brian Moran or Terry McAuliffe because they're perceived as either more liberal or as an easier target for Bob McDonnell. If the race is very, very close, within 1 or 2 percentage points, those Republicans could actually shift the balance here. If, however, it's a 10-point race, it really won't be too meaningful.
Bob, there's not a few Americans who believe that it really doesn't matter who you vote for. They're all of the same stripe, Republican, Democrats, two sides of the same coin. It doesn't really matter. Help us understand, and last question here, help us understand what are the differences in these three candidates. For those folks who are voting tomorrow in this primary, What should they be keeping in mind as to the key differences between Moran and McAuliffe and Deeds?
Well, there are always two kinds of differences, I think, Coy. The first kind of differences are those driven by personality and character. What kind of person is the candidate you're going to be voting for? How effective are they going to be in getting things done? And those tend to be subjective judgments, but they're very, very important. People can have a very strong belief on issues that you might approve of considerably, but if they can't get something done, at the end of the day, you're not going to be too happy with them. Secondly is, where do the candidates stand on the whole set of issues? And because these are three Democrats running, by and large, they consider things fairly similar. And so there are some differences. Brian Moran has tried to stake out a more liberal position on energy, more liberal position on gay and lesbian rights. But overall, I think the differences in this election are more on what you might consider personality, character, effectiveness, electability, than it is a stark difference on issues.
Bob Holsworth, the founder and president at VirginiaTomorrow.com. Bob, thank you so much.
Okay, always great to be with you, Coy, and can't wait to see what happens tomorrow.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit cvillepodcast.com for more.